Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway right here on the early line. It's Sonny Wrightside. It's Mark Zeno having fun, talking the biggest topics, which include how those jerseys look on the Orlando Magic. We'll see if it equates to wins next year, and maybe they're comfortable, put that swag on their back and get after it and ready to go. But we're after it and ready to go in hour number two. Mark, filling in, having fun. It's a Wednesday. It's a hump day. It's on the grid. It's when we need the energy here. It's where we keep the vibes high, Mark.
Well, I'm glad you turned to me for that, because, you know, without Ben Stevens, the show definitely takes an emotional dip.
Yeah, Ben brings it down.
I'm glad I'm here to fill it all in.
Exactly. You bring the energy. Ben brings us down. It's that nice mix when we all get on the air and have some fun with. But in hour number two, we got a lot of hot topics, which includes, how about this? We're going to talk championship rounds, Mark. One in the NHL, one in the NBA. It's June. Championships are here, and we're hoping for long extended series and fun series on both sides here in the NBA and also the NHL. We're asking some hot topics like, what are you more excited for early in the week here with our Fade the Public poll, Mark? So I ask you this, what are you more excited for? The NBA championship getting underway tomorrow or the NHL getting underway this evening?
It's got to be the NHL. It's going to be a more competitive series. The Indiana Pacers stand no chance at beating the Oklahoma City. Like, if they win one game, that's about all they're going to get. I don't think they might even win that. There is such a wide chasm between the Thunder and the Pacers. There's a reason why they're the fourth largest favorite heading into an NBA Finals in the last, 40 years, because they're that much better than Indiana. When you go over to the NHL playoffs, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, I mean, Connor McDavid trying to get over the hump here finally and win his first cup is great TV. It's great theater. And who hasn't had enough of the Florida Panthers? I know I have. I have Florida Panthers fatigue, and I didn't think I would ever have that. But I do have it. I really am rooting for the Oilers here. I hope McDavid gets this thing done.
Yeah, it's a pretty good matchup there in the NHL, no doubt about it. And it is a shame. It's like back in the 1990s, like reliving those years where the NFC will be like 20-point favorites over the AFC in the Super Bowl. And then we finally got competitive balance back, and it doesn't seem like we're going to get that. We hope it is, just from a content standpoint, more games the better, more things to talk about, maybe some adversity for OKC. We'll see how that comes into it. But I do want to talk some NHL Stanley Cup Finals tonight, game number one on Doc. But if you look at the series preview right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's a light favorite here. It's the Edmonton Oilers at a -126 price live here. The Florida Panthers as a dog price at +105. And we'll start there because Tkachuk said, hey, man, we're still embracing the underdog role for these Stanley Cup champions that have been there now three straight years in the Stanley Cup final. How are we playing into the series with a thought process on who can win? And also the Panthers saying, we're the underdog?
Yeah, I mean, I would look at a spot here for the Oilers to score first. They're 48-29-5 when they score first this year. That's what they do. That's what they're good at. And if they can do that, they're going to have a decided advantage in the game. Getting to Bobrovsky early is going to be really, really tough. But if they do it, it puts them in a really good spot. They could play a little bit more loose. They could play a little bit more on the attack. They could continue to push the pace when they have a lead. If you're behind, it's a little bit of a different conversation. So, I kind of just openly look at this and think that if the Oilers offense can get out early, then I think they're in a great spot here. But, look, the total for the game is also worth noting just because, these are two high-scoring teams here, and you're getting 6.5 as the total. And it's like, well, is it really surprise you if this thing goes over? But, again, remember, you're taking a over 6.5 in a game with Sergei Bobrovsky, who doesn't give up many goals, period. So it's very, very hard to figure out from a total standpoint.
Yeah, we're going to get to game number one also and take a look at some of those options to have there. But in the series prices, we are expecting a long series, unlike the NBA, that maybe be done in five games in a gentleman's sweep. Some are feeling if we're lucky to do that. But the Edmonton Oilers do have home ice advantage last year. And if you remember from last year, that was a 3-0 lead in that series for the Florida Panthers. Three straight wins there for the Edmonton Oilers, forcing a game number seven before the Florida Panthers were able to win the Stanley Cup. Canada's had a long drought here from winning a Stanley Cup dating all the way back to the early 1990s with the Montreal Canadiens. Can the Oilers break through? But if we are looking at some of those series prices again, the shortest number, game seven at a plus 165. Like, I really do think we're getting at least six games and maybe seven games, but you certainly want to set the tone in game number one. But if we are looking at the superstar players here, Connor McDavid said he's more comfortable this time in the rematch, knows what to anticipate, been to the Stanley Cup, see if they can work things out. McDavid is a favorite for the Conn Smythe at a minus 105 price, followed by the goaltender for the Florida Panthers and Sergei Bobrovsky here at a plus 280. Barkov, Draisaitl, Kachuk, Bennett, Skinner after him at this point. Is it just so simple where you take a look at, yes, if the Oilers win, it's probably on the back of McDavid, and also if the Panthers win, it's probably on the back of their goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah, but again, Leon Draisaitl is always worthy of a little shekel thrown down on him. He's such a big part of their offense. He's a great assist man, and he continues to, you know, be one of those key parts of the offense. And he can score, too, as well. So, you know, I mean, that's a guy that I would take a look at. If it's not McDavid, who doesn't, you know, end up putting the puck in the back of the net on a routine basis, Draisaitl's the next guy that does it. I mean, Kachuk is also worth a look, obviously, just the name recognition alone. But, you know, again, to your point, if it's Florida, it's going to be Bobrovsky. I'm not really sure there's anybody else who really, you know, makes you feel like they're going to do anything. Because if Bobrovsky is keeping McDavid and company off the board, then yeah, it could be a one-sided series in favor of the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this because I do think it is a good matchup. But again, just indicative of the price points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, how close it is game number one, which we're going to get to, and also the series itself. You steal game number one if you're the Florida Panthers, or even game number two. That means you reclaim home ice and you go all the way up from Edmonton, Alberta, down to South Florida. And certainly that fan base is going to change. But the one thing we do know is Canada does travel well. Like, they love their hockey. In South Florida, there are going to be Edmonton Oilers fans thousands of miles away, still going to be in that building, certainly cheering for that one. It'll be a fun thing to watch you play out. Connor McDavid, certainly the best player in the NHL. Can he rise up in the biggest moments to be Canada's hero at this point, rescuing them from cup abyss over the last, I don't know, 40 years at this point here. But if we do look at game number one, similar to like the series itself, Edmonton is a slight favorite. Right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the money line price is a minus 132. That totals you talked about, over 6.5. It is an underdog price at plus 110, but still 7 goals in the Stanley Cup final. I love to see that. Like, we're going to talk about the Pacers coming up against the OKC. We're in the 230s, which is great to see, not 201.5. What are you thinking about the pace of this game to open up and leaning towards possibly an over, which again, would need 7 to hit?
I would tend to think that the over favors the Oilers and the under favors the Panthers. Again, getting past Bobrovsky is the biggest challenge that the Oilers will have. If they're going to put 4 in the back of the net and win this game 4-3, then that means that their offense is working well and they're finding weak spots in the Panthers' defense and Bobrovsky and taking advantage of it. That's the key to them for this series here. So it feels correlated to the Oilers and the over and the Panthers and the under. But, you know, again, sometimes hockey takes on a little bit of a different form. But I would tend to think that if that's the pace and that's how fast everything is moving, I'd lean on the Oilers with more offense than the Panthers.
Take a look at this game, too. The FanDuel Sports, we've got some pretty good options here on their Stanley Cup Finals Game 1 game specials here. How about each team to score 1-plus goals in each period? That's a plus 950 price. I don't know if I love that one. How about the Oilers to score a goal in each period at a plus 190, or the Panthers to score a goal in each period at plus 230? If I said, you know what, Mark, if I went both of those sides, I took the plus 90 and I plus the 230, is there a chance that you would say that each team has the ability to score a goal in each period and one of them will do that tonight? Or, nah, you ain't buying into that.
Well, what you'd have to think here from a logical standpoint is that, you know, the Oilers would score a goal in the first and the second, and then their goal in the third would be an empty netter, right? Like, that's, you know, that's kind of what you're banking on in the third period, is that the goal is an empty netter, and it takes care of you from that standpoint. It's a really tough prop to score in all three periods, especially in the Stanley Cup Finals.
No, it is. JY's going to come up next. We'll start to talk some NBA. But by the way, the Panthers have scored the first 4 goals. It's only 14-1. Should be 114-1. We'll be back next right here. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We welcome you back to this Wednesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. And frankly, I'm just glad to finally be here. Some technical difficulties in the studio on this Wednesday, but I am now here live alongside Donnie Wrightside, and we welcome on the coach, J.Y. James Young. I hope to be here for the remainder of these 2 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. But, coach, regardless of if I'm here, if it's Mark Zeno, or if it's Donnie flying solo, we're glad to have you here on this Wednesday, of course, to react to the big news around the association from a Tuesday afternoon, the dismissal in the firing by the New York Knicks of head coach Tom Thibodeau. Your reactions and what it means for the Knicks moving forward into 2025-26.
You know, Ben, great that you are on air with us. I was doing a lot of thinking last night, and I'm going to try and use a baseball reference. Is Tom Thibodeau the basketball version of Buck Showalter? Guys, remember Buck Showalter, who did a great job with the Yankees, all of a sudden loses in 95 to the Seattle Mariners, turn around, they get rid of him. Here comes Joe Torre. They off and win a championship. Same thing would happen in Arizona, gets fired from Arizona, being Bob Brenly, go and win a championship. So Jay wanted to know a little bit about baseball. But with that being said, you wonder if they looked at Tom Thibodeau and said, I don't want to call him a placeholder, or a builder, a guy that brings culture and stability back to the organization. But then you get to a point where you look at him in big spots and say, well, we don't think you can get you over the mountaintop. And I think that's where they kind of stood. I know people are trying to put this on Dolan. This was not Dolan's call. This was Leon Rose's call, 100%. He made the call. He got backed by, obviously, James Dolan. So it's one of those things where the Knicks are going to look to get a coach that thinks they can take them to the next step. They play hard. They play together. Can they clean up their offense, which comes stagnant and more of iso ball without a lot of ball movement? It was before Jalen Brunson got here. It was with Julius Randle in that series versus Atlanta. So the Knicks will try and upgrade their coach, because let's be honest, Ben, with all the salaries tied up and not enough capital in regards to the draft to go get a trade, they're going to try and change the coach before they try and change the roster a third straight year.
I'll tell you what's interesting,
all
too,
right,
Coach, when you take
you
a look
ahead,
at it,
DRS,
though.
Please.
Yeah. On this one, J.Y., like, you being a Knicks fan, right, being in the New York market, like, for me, I thought, like, okay, Tibbs going to get out of game number 5, make it to game number 6, Eastern Conference Finals, teams backing him up. There's no way he's gone. Like, I was very surprised to see yesterday that he was fired. What was your reaction? Because I saw you go live right away here on the Sports Grid Network and put out that tweet. What was your reaction the minute you heard that yesterday for the people?
I was stunned, and I'm getting a little bit less stunned as time moves along, because you think of some of the offensive deficiencies. Do I think Tom Thibodeau deserved the chance to come back? Absolutely. As bad as that team has been, 7 playoff wins, I do believe, in this century, or not, you know, before Tibbs got here. Like, I think Tibbs deserves the chance. I thought he should have came back, because, listen, this team was not, when they got the playoffs started, they were not expected to get past Boston. I mean, some people thought they couldn't get past Detroit. Now, whether you look at injuries or not, they, I guess, overachieved based on what we thought was going to happen going into the playoffs. But now they look at the window of, I also think, with the fact that Tatum is out for next year, the injuries, there's a little bit more of a pathway opening up in the Eastern Conference. New York Knicks decided to make the move now instead of wait to see how it starts next year with Tibbs.
Leon Rose said yesterday, JY, in a statement released by the Knicks PR team, it was a, quote, difficult decision. We heard from Shams Charania and the sources that told him the idea the Knicks are doing this, singularly focused on their pursuit of a championship and believe a new voice will serve as the focus for the organization's next step. That is the reasoning the New York Knicks have given behind the decision to fire Tom Thibodeau. Do you agree that that will be the reason behind the decision?
No, I think I think some of the guys wanted him out. And now you start to line up the dominoes, and there's one guy in particular that it could be, and could it be Karl Anthony Towns, who kind of ran him out of Minnesota as well? Could there be a correlation here? Tibbs is a guy that rides his guys. We know this, Ben. It's been in every stop. But in every stop, the team, it's weird. The team tends to go south quick, and then they get rid of him. It's almost like the Knicks see, like, we don't think we're going to replicate it this year. We hit our ceiling with him. Everywhere Tibbs goes, they get off to a great start, and they fall off a cliff. Let's get out now. I thought Tibbs had improved as a coach. I think that his players love them. I think the guys that I think love them the most are probably Brunson and Josh Hart. But at the end of the day, if they're getting rid of someone like Tom Thibodeau, you know they spoke to Jalen Brunson and probably got his approval as well, along with his father, of course.
It'll be interesting. We're going to talk in the next segment, like, where do the Knicks go from here at this point? But just looking at the season that they had, because I asked you the same question before, it's like, okay, the Knicks don't really hang banners in Madison Square Garden. Eastern Conference Finals, you know, are long in between of when you can get back. They did that this year, but the fact that they lost to the Indiana Pacers as opposed to the Cavaliers may have set a chain in motion. But I will say this, Coach. I like proactive organizations. Like, if you felt like you could have got more out of that starting lineup, which they paid a lot of money for and traded a lot of capital for, that is your decision to say, I think somebody might be better off to take us to the next level. When it's just so simple as what you talked about, where Tibbs coming in to sort of settle and steady the force, and then the next coach to take us to the next level, almost like a Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay, you bring in Gruden and you win the championship because you needed that next level enforcer and real tactician that can work with that team.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. And Tibbs has done a great job. He's done it in multiple stops. It's just, it's one of those things where, you know, listen, at the end of the day, the Knicks are going to be judged and Leon Rose is going to be judged in about a year from now. If they bring in a new coach, they make it to the NBA Finals, even if they come up short, it's going to be a success. If anything less than an Eastern Conference title next year, the blame is going to shift. And you can't blame Tibbs. You may blame the guy that gave up 5 first-round picks to Mikal Bridges, and that's going to be Leon Rose. But that's the problem, because we don't even know where Leon Rose is because he never does a press conference anyway.
A statement released yesterday, but not in front of a camera nor a microphone. Tom Thibodeau bringing the New York Knicks to a stage they had not seen in 2.5 decades. His reward, a lot of buyout money from his contract extension signed last summer, but no longer the head coach of the New York Knicks. So where do the Knicks go from here? JY has the answer next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Tom Thibodeau has been fired by the New York Knicks. So now what is the next option for New York in their head coaching search the remainder of this summer? JY, we have a list of potential candidates that could be the Knicks' next head coach in 2025 and 26. You'll see the top name that has already been floated. That is Michael Malone, who of course was dismissed with only 3 regular season games left for the Denver Nuggets this season. Taylor Jenkins, who was fired by the Memphis Grizzlies late in the regular season as well. Johnny Bryant, a Cavs assistant, who of course is a front runner for the Phoenix Suns head coaching job. And we'll get to the final three names or maybe even potentially four on that list in just a matter of moments. JY, you are not Leon Rose, and you probably don't agree with a lot of the decisions he has made in that Knicks front office. But if you were there guiding the Knicks search for a new head coach, who would option number one be in your mind?
It's Michael Malone. A guy from Astoria, New York, a guy that's New York bred, a guy that's won a championship, a guy that's dealt with big personalities, a guy that's not scared of the media, and a guy that's going to coach guys hard. Maybe you call him Tibbs Light. I call him Tibbs Light with a ring on his finger. I think it's intriguing. Taylor Jenkins got ran out of Memphis. I'm sorry. A little bit too early, but a lot of that to me had to do with more with Ja Morant, how he acted, and the injuries he had. Johnny Bryant is the name that's getting the most attention, Ben, because of the fact he was brought in by Leon Rose and World Wide West. He has a close relationship with, obviously, Jalen Brunson, but he has a closer relationship with Donovan Mitchell. So that's going to be the tricky one. I've reached out to a couple of people that I know, and I asked specifically about Jay Wright and Hurley. I got one, no way in hell he's going. And then another person that played for Jay Wright gave me big eyeballs and made me see like, could be intrigued, but probably not. Hurley's the interesting one, Ben, because when you think about it, you peel it back, he struggles with leaving anywhere, right? He struggles with even leaving Wagner to go to URI. Same thing went from URI to UConn. So his wife particularly was not keen on going all the way to the West Coast. Well, Ben, now you come home. He's a Jersey City kid. He's a New York Knicks fan. His dad is right there. That is the guy to be intriguing. The Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, that's more of like old school Knicks fans saying Mark Jackson deserves another chance and let's just bring back the 90s and bring those two back. But to me, I think it should be Michael Malone based on experience, track record, and won a championship.
Let's be honest about the New York Knicks, too, because, again, you are a coach that if you can get to New York City and win an NBA championship, that's worth like 10 championships anywhere else. That is an allure, but also that's one of the negatives with taking the job. Boy, you just fired Thibodeau. The guy finally gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, back-to-back 50-win seasons. It isn't good enough. So if, I'm going to ask you this question. There's no way the Knicks, with Celebrity Row and everybody watching in New York City, Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, you can wind up with Taylor Jenkins or Johnny Bryant. I'm not saying they can't work out. But you fire Thibodeau, you got to have a rock star in there, coach, don't you?
You would think so. And it's been, and the crazy thing is with them firing Tibbs, there's been so many reports coming out. Now they're saying there's rumors that they may try to go after Ime. I don't know how. They can't get him. People are saying Spoelstra. They're saying everyone. Hey, someone said Patrick Ewing. I almost fell off a chair. But they're coming up with anybody that they can to be Knicks coach. But you're right, Donnie. The pressure on them to win. And that coach to win. I mean, if you win a title in your first year in New York, you will not have to pay for a meal for the rest of your life, including your kids and grandkids. But if you come in and you mess this up like a Larry Brown did, you will make it out of MSG alive after the first game.
Because Tom Thibodeau did get the New York Knicks to an area of the NBA postseason they had not been since the year 2000. And JY, you mentioned what the Knicks' outlook could be in the Eastern Conference with all the changes we can expect entering next season. So I guess the ultimate question to you is this. The person that is ultimately hired as the Knicks' next head coach, will he be the right fit to lead New York to the NBA Finals and take that next step?
He better be. Let's be honest. He better be the right fit because it could go south really, really quick. They're going to have to get buy-in. They're going to have to be more offensive, creative, but they're going to have to get someone that has the respect in the locker room. That's why I think it's Malone, but they keep talking about the relationship that Johnny Bryant is going, that he has, and he's got some of the guys. He's worked with the guys on staff before. So that could be the guy, and it won't cost you any kind of compensation as it is an elevated job.
A sleeper candidate that should find its way on that list as well, our coach, J.Y. James Young, if the New York Knicks know anything about ball. Yeah, that's you. Can teach you how to do fadeaways in practice. And then Donnie's the head of the Knicks City Dance. More on the early line now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You already know the guy that's here for the entirety of the rest of this second hour. Mark Zeno was basically here for the entirety of the show.
Was this a replay?
Already on this Wednesday. Zeno, thank you so much for filling in, for being flexible, and helping DRS guide this ship as we had some technical difficulties in the studio today. But Zen, we're glad to have you back. Talk a little bit of Major League Baseball and some football before we end out this second hour.
As I told you before, impossible shoes to fill of Ben Stevens, so I hope I held up my end of the bargain. But I will say, we are much better as a threesome than a twosome.
Wow.
Ooh. I like triumvirate better than the word that you used, but that is fine.
I got a lot of things by me
right now. Hey, no, no. All right. Look at Major League Baseball and Zeno's MLB map. Let's start by going league by league, pennant by pennant, and we start in the National League. Of course, Zeno, this past weekend was the World Series rematch in Los Angeles between the Dodgers and the Yankees, playing out as we speak during the midweek in a four-game set. It's our second NLCS rematch of this season between the other New York team, the Mets, against the LA Dodgers. When you look at the National League odds right now and see the Dodgers as such a short favorite to win a second consecutive pennant, but with the Mets there at 5-1, the Phils plus 550. We'll talk about the other teams deeper down this list in just a matter of moments. Zeno, do you take anything away, big picture-wise, significance-wise, from the Dodgers' performance against the Yankees in a World Series rematch or the Dodgers playing the Amazons this week in the second NLCS rematch of the year?
Well, I told you last week when you asked me about the Yankees-Dodgers series that I wasn't excited about it at all, and the Yankees got mollywopped. I mean, sure, they salvaged the final game of the series, but they were outscored 26-7 in the first two games. It was embarrassing for the Yankees. They got outclassed by the Dodgers on several fronts in that three-game series. Again, nice to salvage the final game, but it didn't erase what the gap between the Yankees and Dodgers is. Strange part about that, Ben, is that in the first two games, Aaron Judge went 5-for-9 with three home runs, and they were outscored 26-7. Final game, he goes 0-for-4, and the Yankees win at 7-5 or whatever it was, 7-2. I can't remember the final score. Regardless, that's, you know, as John Stilling says, well, you know, Susan, that's just baseball. Anyway, I'm not impressed with the Yankees at this point in time, but I also do not believe the Dodgers' gap is as big as odds makers are making it. You bring back up those odds for the National League pennant, you've got to be joking. There's not nearly a $3.50 difference between the Mets and the Dodgers when these two teams get on the field, right? Like, that's just not, that's not reality. So I think the Dodgers are overpriced, and I don't think you can bet them at this point in time. And look, I'll keep going back to this, and I know it sounds crazy, and I did it last year and was wrong. In fact, I did it 2 years in a row and was wrong. I'd still throw a check on the Padres to win the NL West because they're going to hang around, and that's the only way the Dodgers really get tripped up is by having something happen where they don't win the division. You can't trust the Padres to get out of the National League, but if they hang around all year long, they could make something competitive in September.
Mark, we talk so much here about the National League, and we're usually like, okay, the Phillies are a really good team. The Mets are a good team. Can the Braves get back into it? And then we go to the West, and we talk about the Dodgers, how dominant they can be, and the Padres and the Giants and the Diamondbacks. And I do love the fact that Atlanta is buried already this early in the season.
Yes.
But we tend to say, you know, flyover country, right? Like, hey, you fly from New York to Los Angeles, and you sort of wave down at the Midwest. Hey, guys, how you doing? See you when we see you. That's the Chicago Cubs. That's the Cardinals. That's the Brewers. Are we leaving them out? There's a lot of disrespect because the Cubs are playing damn good baseball.
They are playing good baseball. They are mashing the hell out of the baseball, and they're scoring a ton of runs, particularly away from home, and makes them a good road team. Two problems with the Cubs. They got a very average bullpen, and there's a lot of questions surrounding their starting staff. You know, and that's ultimately what it boils down to here for Chicago. I mean, that's a team that I'd like to back, but when they run into buzzsaw pitching in the postseason, that when they run into, you know, Griffin Canning and David Peterson and what the Mets have, and then you flip it over to, you know, the Phillies with Wheeler and everybody else, it's like, and Suarez, is there a way that they win a 5 or 7 game series against that kind of pitching? If they score 6 runs a game, sure, but that's not usually what we see in the playoffs. So it makes it tough to back them. Again, I say it repeatedly, you can hit your way through 162 games and walk right into the postseason. Winning in October is a completely different animal.
Yeah.
The Chicago Cubs, now the best record in the National League, 38-22, a victory yesterday in the nation's capital against the Nats. That's three straight for the Cubbies, seven of their last eight as well. You know, we talked about the Dodgers, and you called it an unbettable price. I would agree, right? The disparity between LA's optimistic number and the rest of the National League is a little bit jaw-dropping when you just see the number from a handicapping perspective. But if you were to set tiers around the NL, are the Dodgers in a tier of their own? If not, who is right there with them, neck and neck? If the Dodgers are in tier one, who's in tier two? How do you break down the National League from that perspective?
Well, the Mets and Dodgers are probably the most elite and most complete in the National League. The Phillies have to get their bullpen fixed. I mean, we watch this. I don't know what goes on in Philadelphia. We watch this exercise every year. They hit. They start pitch well. Their bullpen is hot garbage. And they allow it to persist for the first 3 months of the season before they decide, maybe we need to make some changes here and get some guys in the bullpen who can help win us games. But again, because they can hit, usually more often than not, that bullpen deficiency is covered up by a whole lot of runs, especially late in games, that kind of saves them. So, yeah, but when it comes to the postseason, that's a huge hole to have. And the same thing we talk about the Cubs. Look, sorry, Braves fans, you're done. And part of the reason you're done is what we saw last night. Spencer Strider is done. This is not the same guy either. He's got to figure out how to repitch with a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, or he's going to be done. Because he gave up three bombs again last night in five innings because you know what he's not doing? Throwing 99 and 100. He's throwing 94 and 95. And that's a huge difference in Major League Baseball, a very hittable difference that the hitters have figured out. So without another arm for the Braves, I don't know that they're going to be able to even come close to catching the Mets in the NL East, let alone making noise about being a World Series contender. So the Padres are another interesting scenario, guys, just because they have all the pieces. They certainly have the starting pitching. They have one of the best closers in baseball. They have the offense, although it comes and goes in spurts. Right now it's gone. Like, the Padres are not hitting. They're batting a league worst, less than 200 over the last 2 weeks. If they can get right in that sense, could they be the second tier? Yes, I think so.
If we are taking a look at like that sort of the second tier options, right? And again, we talked about the Atlanta Braves. Who knows if they get it together, but we're not talking about like, hey, they're playing decent baseball, Mark. They're 2 to 3 games back. They're 10 games back of the New York Mets and then 9.5 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies. The team I want to ask you a quick question on, which got some bad news, I guess, if you were with Corbin Burns. That's the Arizona Diamondbacks, 29-31 on the season. That lineup is phenomenal. But guys like Zach Gallen, who hopefully can regain his form because he hasn't been the same pitcher he's been previously there. Corbin Burns down. Is that just one of those years where it's like, you know what? We're just not going to be able to make a run, even though how much talent they still have on that roster.
I mean, look, it's on the GM to get some more arms there. You're right. This is a really talented team. And I mean, again, and we just talked, the Braves are a minus 175 favorite tonight against the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks shouldn't be a $1.75 dog against anybody other than the Dodgers when they have their ace on the mound, like when Yamamoto's on the mound. That's when they should be a dog, right? They're not that bad. And, you know, I think there's a bad price tonight in the game. I take the D-backs again for what it's worth. But that said, again, to your point, DRS, like, this is a good team. They have time to get out of it. But this is on the GM to go find some more arms for this team and bolster the rotation at some point in time and try to figure out another way to get this team kicked back in it. Because right now, it's not so much the fact that they're just around 500. It's the fact that they are letting 6 and 7 teams get between them and the top of the NL, and that's a gap that's going to create some problems for them to close.
A critical series this week in the A between the Braves and the D-backs. Arizona with the 8-3 win last night. Still two games below 500, 29-31. The Braves, you know, as you well know, five games sub 500, 27-32. The last two MLB seasons, Mark, we have placed a team on fork watch. If you put the fork in them, they are done. The Atlanta Braves firmly on fork watch right now. And it sounds like that fork is deep in the Braves from Mark Zeno's perspective. For TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Mark Zeno's MLB map continues here in hour number two on this Wednesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. Zeno pulling double duty today for us here on TEL. So we focused on the National League, Zeno. Now time to the AL, where the favorites to win the pennant as of this moment, the New York Yankees, at a 2-1 price. 37-22 is the record for the pinstripes this year, but $1.30 behind the Detroit Tigers, +330 to win the American League pennant. And the Tigers have a better record than New York. Frankly, have a better record than everybody else around MLB. The Tigers have the best record in baseball at 40-22. And Zeno, at the end of last year, the Tigers earning a playoff berth for the first time in nearly a decade, winning a playoff game for the first time in a decade. Of course, there was optimism in the Motor City entering the 2025 MLB season. But this 40-22, best start this year, best record in the bigs. How surprised are you by the start Detroit has had this season?
Well, I'm surprised by their offense a little bit, being as competent as it is on the road. Last year, the Tigers got there with pitching, right? Like, that's how they closed out the season. And even Jack Flaherty is not having a great year by Jack Flaherty's standards at all. So the fact that their offense has been able to pick up, they're one of the highest scoring teams on the road in Major League Baseball this year. And that's really been the difference for them. The fact that they're scoring runs at an abnormal rate from what we're used to seeing from them is really what's indicative of why the Tigers are where they are. And if you were somebody, as you see there, who took their opening day win total over, you feel pretty good about that bet at this point in time. I don't think you're going to have a problem getting there when they're going to get three quarters of the way there by the time the All-Star break comes around. So good spot for the Tigers. If you go back to those World Series odds, though, you know, we talked before about the distance between the Dodgers and everybody else and how it was mispriced. You look at the Yankees and the Tigers for the AL pennant there. Yeah, I think those prices are about right. And I do think the gap is that big between the Tigers and Yankees and everybody else, right? Like, that seems more appropriate to me. Here I can make a bet on the Yankees. I can make a bet on the Tigers because I think there's a clear line. All those other teams have a ton of flaws. Now, the only team you can really look at is the Houston Astros because they've played this game with us for the last 2 years where we have a ho-hum, really boring, bad April. We sort of sneak up on people a little bit in May. And then June comes around and the Astros decide, guess what? We're going to start playing the baseball that everybody knows we can play and then go out, steal the AL West, and put ourselves in position to win in the postseason. You can't deny the experience. You can't deny the World Series pedigree of that team and the guys, most of the guys in that clubhouse. So you want to take a flyer on the Astros, certainly wouldn't be mad at you. Still think there's a big gap between the Tigers and Yankees and them, but it might be worth a shekel or two given their pedigree.
Yeah, a lot of mediocre baseball out there in the American League, specifically with, you know, teams that you expected to be good this year. The Orioles, bottom dwellers there in the East, 23-36. We always think of the Astros being top of the line right now. Maybe they do get back. McCullers had a great start yesterday, which could help them. Alvarez on his way back here from that, you know, fractured wrist that he has. Maybe somebody can step up. But also, you have to stay healthy. Quick update here in Major League Baseball. Hunter Green, we talk about him so many times, that groin injury, missed a couple starts. He's back on the IL with a groin injury after going five innings last night for the Cincinnati Reds. So They just can't catch a break keeping that kid healthy. We'll see if he stays up on that. But getting back here to the American League, like, I do think the Astros could be the outlier because the organization has had that championship pedigree, maybe put something together. Is there any other, like, the Rays, the Jays, the Twins, the Guardians, because the Rangers are 29 and 32, a lot of injuries in that lineup. Who is a team that can surprise us, Mark? Let's not say, like, late August or September. Who can make a run to respectability even before we get to the All-Star break for you here?
I mean, God.
It's hard.
You don't trust anything. You just don't. These teams have so many warts. You know, like, just, do you really trust the Mariners? I know their offense is great, but they can't hit at home at all. Yeah. Like, you know, they can't score in their own ballpark. So that's problematic. The Rangers can't hit, period, anywhere on the planet. I don't know what you do. I mean, it's easier to find bats at the deadline than it is arms. So maybe there's something they can supplement. But we know the Guardians have problems in the rotation. They're not that good. The Royals bats have went silent. And even at that, they are struggling in the rotation as well. I mean, you know, you love the Red Sox lineup, but they're much better at home than they are on the road. And after Garrett Crochet, there's not a starter I would actually put a penny on. Like, in fact, I fade them all. Like Lucas Giolito tonight, he'll give up 6 runs. It'll be good. Don't worry about it. Take the over. You should be good, even with the Angels out there. So, no, there's nobody else to trust outside of the Yankees, Tigers, and then maybe a little bit of the Astros because of their pedigree.
Yes, you know, I think that's a very fair point, right? The question that you laid out basically for yourself, it's the Yankees with a small distinction in front of Detroit. And then the gap between the top two in the American League, New York and Detroit, and everybody else feels very fitting. The Mariners losing last night to the O's. By the way, Baltimore has won 4 straight in 7 of its last 9 as they desperately attempt to turn things around. Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to add one thing because you talked about the Tigers and Yankees. If you were to here's the price discrepancy. There's only one reason why the Yankees are favored because of their logo over the Tigers. If you put the Tigers' numbers and their record with the Yankees and flipped them, right? Now you're looking at the Yankees being plus 150 and the Tigers being plus 500, right? Like, sure. That's how much the Tigers are unequivocally better than the Yankees at this point in time. It's only priced that way because of the team and the pinstripes, not because the Yankees are actually better.
Right. A team also that won the pennant a season ago, despite losing Gerrit Cole. Their top two aces on the staff right now, and Max Fried and Carlos Rodon, have been great, basically matching what Derek Skubal and Jack Flaherty have done in Motown. I hear the point for sure. But Zeno, there was a couple of teams entering this year in the American League that we looked at for value before opening day. The Rangers and the Red Sox, and I guess you could argue the Orioles as well, not even listed with a top 10 price any longer. In the final minute of this segment, of those teams around the American League, whose start to this year has been the most disappointing?
I mean, it's got to be. Look, the Orioles did nothing, right? They did nothing this offseason except watch their team get fleeced. Corbin Burns goes to Arizona. Anthony Santander goes to Toronto. I mean, you know, and they did nothing to try and make that ball club better. They got their manager fired because of it, and now they're in complete rebuild mode with a lot of young talent that isn't really, you know, going anywhere at this point in time. So their fall has been pretty precipitous and disappointing. But the Royals, too, are another team that really I thought would be a lot better, and they are starting to slide back.
10 runs scored yesterday in KC, or in St. Louis for KC, but our guy Jackie Cags hitless in his MLB debut. Zeno's thoughts on where football is right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here we are in early June, our final month without an NFL football game until March of 2026. That includes the preseason. So, as we always win with Zinn and out this second hour, let's look at the updated Super Bowl 60 odds. You might hear me say early June updated. There's been some market movement only by a couple of cents, but some changing numbers and some changing positions. And let's start with the big news this week, Mark Zeno, for that team at 10-1, being the Detroit Lions, the team on your screen. He's slightly blocked by the odds, but the man about to hike the ball to Jared Goff, that would be the Lions center, Frank Ragnow, a two-time All-Pro selection each of the past two seasons, announcing his retirement earlier this week. It has been an off-season of change for Detroit, who was the number one team in the NFC a season ago, a 15-2 football team, but ousted largely because of defensive injuries in their divisional round game in the Motor City against the Washington Commanders. With changes at the coordinator spot and some changes now along the interior of that O-line for the Lions, Mark, how do you view Detroit entering 2025?
And in the fact that they're playing the toughest strength of schedule from last year of any team in all of football, seems like an uphill battle. Now, I don't put too much into that because I have no idea this year who's going to be different than last year. You know, I say it every year that going through that exercise that fans do when the schedule comes out, this is a win, this is a loss. That's just absolutely a waste of time because you have no idea who's playing in each game, who's injured, who's not, who's starting, who's not. So, but I will tell you that it's just noteworthy that the Lions go from playing one of the easier schedules to one of the tougher in 2 years. And I say all that from a betting perspective to say that betting overs for them might not be the way to go. You might just want to hold what you got here and let it play out. I think the Lions obviously are still the favorite, but I think the Packers are probably winning that division this year. I mean, remember, we're going from the hunting to the hunted, right? The hunter to the hunted, and it changes things, and everybody wants to come and get you. The Packers want to be back on top in the NFC North, and I think this is the year they do it.
Also, we're looking at, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl champions last year, lost some players on defense, bringing back primarily, you know, key important ingredients, including their entire offense back. That's a positive sign. I don't want to talk about the Eagles as the favorites. It's the team number two there with the Ravens, Bills, and the Chiefs. Bills, yep, we'll see what they can do. Easier schedule, easier said than done for them to get to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are always going to be up there, but it's the Baltimore Ravens. For me, on a year-to-year basis, Mark, week-to-week, they're the hardest team to fade. When I'm just talking about, hey, all right, Ravens are playing so-and-so. Like, I love the Ravens every year in the regular season, week-to-week. They're such a tough matchup because of Lamar Jackson. But then again, Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, he can't win the big game. Is it burning money for the Ravens to take them preseason at plus 750? Or do you wait for maybe them to have an underwhelming regular season, make the playoffs at a much more palatable price? Because being priced right up at the top, I don't know if I can do it with the Ravens. I did it 2 years ago, loved it, and they fell so flat in the playoffs against the Chiefs that I feel like I'm scarred at that point.
Yeah, when I talk about great streaks in life and in sports, I think of Lou Gehrig and Cal Ripken. I think of Joey Chestnut winning the hot dog eating contest and me every year placing a futures bet around week five of the Ravens to win the Super Bowl and watching it go up in flames because I've done it for the last 4 years and I'm probably going to do it again at some point this year after they lose a couple of games and the number gets past 7-1. I go, hey, I'm going to bet on the Ravens. I think they're really going to be doing it this year. So I'm with you, DRS. It is setting money on fire at this point. I don't know what to tell you. Of course, the 1 year I don't do it, they're going to win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to keep the tradition alive. I'll wait till week four or five. As soon as the number gets back around 6.5 to 7-1 again, I'll bet a future on them to win the Super Bowl. And then you and I can both have a bonfire together to set that ticket on fire and watch it go up in smoke.
I think, Zito, my issue with the pricing around Baltimore and Buffalo at this moment is to be equal to that of Kansas City. And up until yesterday, both the Ravens and the Bills were at least a half buck in front of KC. I have no issue with people coming to the decision that this is not the Chiefs' year to play in the AFC Championship game or, heck, even win that AFC crown once again. But to have those teams equal or in front of the Chiefs at this stage of the offseason, that's where I take umbrage with the idea that Kansas City is slightly being undervalued by the odds makers right now. Am I crazy for having that offseason assessment in the final 30 seconds of this segment?
No, it's the same thing we talked about the Yankees and Tigers before. The Chiefs should be priced differently just because they're the Chiefs. And that's the way it should be. They should be ahead of all those teams because they are the Chiefs and they've earned the right to be priced that way. And when you do see that value, it's usually worth it to take a little flyer on them.
plus 750, that number on Kansas City. Mark Zeno, you want to stick around in hour three? Yeah, you've put in enough time here on the early line on this Wednesday. We appreciate it, as always. I'm surprised Donnie didn't salute. Hour three next.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.